நீங்கள் SBS தமிழோடு இணைந்துள்ளீர்கள்.
Greetings, Dr. Fiona Martin.
Hello, lovely to be on your program.
You had been elected a member of the parliament for Reid electorate. You had been described as the captain's pick when Craig Lowndey retired, and you were nominated to run. His predecessor, John Murphy, and Craig Lowndey had been very active in the Tamil community. You could literally see them in almost all functions organized by the Tamil community, but we don't see that with you.
Well, actually, since my election last year, I've had a very interesting run as a new member. I've been in the position for 20 months and certainly been out and about in the Tamil community. I've been to a number of events, including various and significant days in the Indian calendar. But of course, COVID has prevented us from attending any large-scale events during most of 2020. So I think pre-COVID, I was out and about and fortunate enough to receive a sari from one of our cultural leaders in the local community. And I've met on a number of occasions the Indian Consular General and his wife and been to a number of functions. But obviously COVID does restrict what we can do. Yesterday, I was fortunate to have a round table with the group of Indian Australian cultural leaders, which was fantastic. So I got to hear how the Indian Australian community are coping. During the pandemic, I went out to the Hindu Association's Karma Kitchen, which was a wonderful service offered to the community for those that were disadvantaged, packaging up food for families and individuals who were in need. So I've done quite a bit of work with the Indian Australian community, and I really enjoy connecting with you all.
People in Sydney know a bit about you because you had been in our community, but this broadcast is Australia-wide. Just a way of introduction, you had been a psychologist, and from that you moved into politics. Why the transition and how did the transition happen?
From a very young age, I was interested in politics. And it was my mother, in fact, who first got me into politics when I was about 16 years old. There was an ad in the local newspaper about a Youth Week forum, and there was a Youth Week facilitator position vacant. And I applied to the council and I was fortunate enough to be chosen. And that process required me to interview young people around the area to find out what young people wanted for the community in terms of facilities and things like skateboard ramps and green spaces. And so through that process and through the experience that I gained from that, I discovered a really deep interest in politics and democracy. And so I went on to study government and public administration at the University of Sydney. That was my first degree. And I also joined the Young Liberal Movement, of which I was involved in from about 18 years old onwards.
I remember seeing a photograph of you with our former Prime Minister John Howard when you were a Young Liberal, and they celebrated the 50th anniversary of...
An anniversary of Earlwood Young Liberals, and that would have been 20-something years ago. So I'm not new to politics. However, I did think that when I was younger, that it wasn't a career for me, that it was more of a hobby and something to be involved in, but not necessarily, I wasn't necessarily aspiring to be a politician when I was 18 years old. I really was very passionate about becoming a health professional and in particular mental health. And I thought that I could make a very big contribution as a psychologist. And so that's what I ended up doing. I went on to pursue many, many years of study and training to become a registered psychologist. And I practiced for almost 20 years and ran my own clinic. So I had a small business, which I think is very good experience. And to bring that experience into the parliament, it's very helpful.
And you had demonstrated that in the last speech that you gave in February with the redress scheme.
Yeah, I mean, I've given a number of speeches, too many really, and they can be viewed on the parliamentary website. But I often talk about my experience as a psychologist and that the fact that I understand people's stories, I mean, having spoken to people firsthand about trauma that they've gone through, whatever it may be, having treated so many people and being able to help many people and families, I have that insight from the front line. And I think that really helps when you're a politician to have real life experience and to have a profession and to run a small business, I understand what these policies we devise in Canberra mean on the ground in people's small businesses, be that a supermarket, grocery store, a health service, or a restaurant or cafe.
Would you advise anyone thinking of entering politics to start early?
Not necessarily, no. I think that it's just about really loving, firstly, your country. So I'm obviously very patriotic and very proud to be an Australian. I think that you need to believe in democracy. I see myself as being a soldier of democracy. I love being able to talk to people and meet people and being able to help people. And I think that you really need to have those traits to want to be a politician. And being listening, I think the most important skill is to be able to listen to people's views and to be able to collect data, you know, to be able to understand that everyone's voice is important. And when we meet in Parliament, we're representing people's views. And I think it's important to be able to take, you know, if there's so many people in your electorate that have a very strong view on a particular issue, that we're able to voice that in parliamentary meetings or on a policy committee or in the actual Parliament, in the chamber itself, through a speech. So it's very important that you believe in democracy, that you are passionate about Australia, care about Australians, and ultimately listen to what people say.
Your background is in psychology, and you have presented some papers on autism in the Parliament as well. There is a myth that vaccinations cause autism. With the COVID vaccine being almost available for the public, how do we go about stopping people from this fear of vaccination will lead to any kind of other illnesses?
I think what you're referring to is the measles, mumps and rubella vaccine and the research that's been conducted on that and its link to autism has been debunked. So there's been significant amounts of research on that and I think that all the academics in the field of autism strongly have proven there is no link between the MMR vaccine and autism. So that's been well published in the research. And if you speak to a health professional here or even overseas, particularly in countries like the UK and the United States, you'll hear similar views. So in terms of fear, I think is what you're referring to, or perhaps an anti-vaxxer kind of culture. The vaccine here in Australia is completely voluntary. Australian government has secured 20 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine, which has been approved by the TGA, which is a regulatory framework and a very well-regarded regulatory framework here in Australia. And the AstraZeneca vaccine is currently going through that process. So I trust that TGA is able to make the right decision for the health and well-being of all Australians.
The Tamil community, at least the recent arrivals, either as refugees or asylum seekers, are anxious about the government's policy on keeping people in detention. What are your views and what can you tell our audience to ease the anxiety that these people have?
Well, I think Australia has one of the most generous humanitarian programs in the world. We do more than most to assist and resettle genuine refugees in need of protection. The success and the breadth of our humanitarian program is only possible if we maintain an orderly, fair program. Where a person is assessed and not being owed protection under the United Nations definition, they'll be asked to depart Australia, of course. But our country has one of the most generous humanitarian programs in the world. And Australia has a long history of providing resettlement for refugees and others who are displaced as a result of conflict or persecution and human rights abuses. Australia also fulfills its international obligations by offering protection to non-citizens who are already in Australia. And people applying for a protection visa in Australia must be found to be a refugee or engage in complementary protection and meet all other visa requirements for visa to be granted. I think Australia has a very fair policy. And as I said, I think that we've done very well. I understand that there were 11,521 offshore humanitarian granted between 2019 and 2020. And things have changed. Obviously, COVID has impacted all countries around the world, and we're still working through that. So things are constantly being reviewed. But I do believe that Australia has one of the most generous humanitarian programs and we do genuinely try to resettle refugees in need of protection. So I feel confident knowing that.
Thank you, Dr. Fiona Martin, for taking the time to talk to us.
You're very, very welcome. I really enjoy working with the Indian and Sri Lankan community in REID. I'm very proud to represent. We have over 10,000 residents of Indian ancestry, 1,500 people of Sri Lankan ancestry in REID. And I've really enjoyed working with the community. In my electorate is home to the Tamil Study Centre in Homebush, which you might be familiar with, which was established in 1987. And the school represents the deep roots of our Tamil-speaking community in REID. We delivered just under $50,000 through the Community Languages Multicultural Grants to the school recently. And I think that is incredibly important, because what we want is for people who are new migrants to Australia, we want people to be able to keep connection to their ancestries, culture and history through language. It's also important to me for people to be able to pass on their language to their children for future generations. That was probably one of the most important community grants that I've been able to deliver in REID. I've also secured $135,000 of federal funding for an upgrade to the temple security system through the Morrison Government Safer Communities Grant, and a further $19,000 through the Morrison Government Stronger Communities Program for a new kitchen. Temple in Homebush West were able to receive because of the Morrison Government. And I enjoy working with the Tamil community, and I look forward to continuing to work with the Tamil community here in REID and across Australia. Thank you very much.
Virupam, pagirvu, karuthu, padivu. Like, share, comment. SBS Tamil in Facebook.